The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down, episode 229. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Adam Vale.
Shalom.
And Brian Monjomo.
Yo, Tony, I'll give you $500 if you get me the beta for GTA 6.
No problem, man. Oh, God. All right, we need a little bit of vamping because we ain't got bread here. Manny, why don't you tell everybody the story you just told us before the show, because this is hilarious. Okay, and it's gaming related too. So
it's gaming related. So recently I bought a copy of No More Heroes, Heroes Paradise for PlayStation 3. I always wanted the game and I kind of had the urge to play it again, but I obviously I got rid of my Wii long ago. Anyway. Obviously, when you buy things from GameStop, the covers look kind of really nasty and horrible because they essentially put all their games through a grinder.
Shit, sometimes you don't even get a cover.
You don't get a cover.
Your sleeve.
Anyway, so I decided to order some cases. This is what I got. Essentially, five copies of The Voice. Unopened copies of the game The Voice. As essentially as replacement covers. So, literally, I'm sure this guy probably went to a local, probably had these in a bargain bin somewhere for like 2 cents and just started selling them online as replacement cases, which obviously they're all totally new and unopened. They're just for a really, really junky game.
It's hilarious.
So I'm like, so I opened it up. I'm like, oh, yay, look, I guess it's replaced it. And I opened it up. I'm like, The Voice?
Well, you'll find out if it was a mistake if he contacts you. He's like, did you get some extra stuff in that package?
So, yeah, funny, hilarious stuff. Here's the thing. If you think about it, nowadays they probably aren't making any more PlayStation 3 cases anymore, right? These kind of see-through-ish sort of cases for their games now. So it's like, how do you get them? Well, there's a bunch of bargain bins everywhere with unopened games. Yeah, sell those things off.
Yeah, right? That's crazy. Shout out to Barry Burton, who subscribed again, and he said, hashtag stop GameStop.
So by the way, Barry Burton, as a prize for you subscribing, I'm going to send you a copy of The Voice.
Oh, man, you're going to be giving those shits away now, son.
I'm kidding.
By the way, we should troll our fans with that. Like when they, if they win a legitimate prize, they also get a copy of The Voice.
The Voice, right?
That would be hilarious.
New inbox. I'm sure it's a really easy platinum.
No, I doubt it. It's a singing game.
Yeah, but if you can't sing.
Yeah, if you then you can't win. Next, that's a hard game. Put that up.
Hey, that is ableist. How dare you?
Yeah, Adam.
Anybody should be able to play The Voice, even if you can't sing.
Adam, you're a monster.
You're history's a monster.
Worst monster.
Actually, yeah, I sound like my therapist. Fuck both of you.
Oh man. All right. With that, let's get to some news. One of those dry ass weeks, but I found some stuff to talk about. It's interesting stuff. Main thing is PSN name changes are finally implemented. I believe we talked about this a couple months ago. I don't know if it was a rumor or something.
It was an announcement. They just
it was an announcement. Okay, it was just like okay. It was an announcement and an announcement. I don't know what the fuck
it was. It was an announcement, but they just never actually said when it was going to be implemented. They said the one thing about it though is that there was going to be a caveat to it.
Yes. By the way, that caveat, and I'll let you tell it. This was known when the announcement was made, and it's still something that's going on now. So what is the caveat?
The caveat is if you do switch your name, there is probably going to be some sort of issues that you made with progress and certain things that not coming over.
Yeah, game saves and trophies from what I remember.
Yeah, so yes, you can change your name, but you get to forego all of your progress on certain things.
Yeah.
So it's, here's the thing. This is the probably the fault of the cockamamie way that they designed the way this thing works.
This is mainly if people are cool with just doing like a weird reset and just saying, you know what, I'm willing to lose some shit just so for now on to know it's going to work with my new name. I say if you have a really bad name, mm-hmm. then yeah, then do it. But
I mean,
I wouldn't like, take that chance.
If we talk about the general, like, okay, how long has it been since PlayStation 3 has been around? PlayStation 3, PlayStation Live or whatever you want to call it. PlayStation Network.
Probably over 10 years, right?
Over 10 years. If it's over 10 years, think about it. You know, 10 years is a good enough time for a person to be grown up.
Well, that's the thing, you know, because when this news first came out, I was like, why didn't you guys pick a better name in the first place? You know, because I'm thinking about it from my standpoint. Like, I'm an old fucking man. I was 27 when I picked that shit. But I was like, hold on a second. What if you were like 10?
You're missing the key part of this. With every service, you could change your name. No one thought that you would be locked to this shit. Mm-hmm. And that was the downfall. But that goes back, a lot of people created bullshit names.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like, yeah. And that goes back to Sony's, like Manny said, cockamamie way of doing it, you know?
But that's what they didn't say that, though. They didn't say, hey, if you do this, this is it for life. You know, no one knew that.
Yeah, they, I don't think they knew that.
Because remember, before that, we had Xbox Live, and Xbox Live, you could change your name right from there. That was it. It was never a big thing.
Because that's the space that Microsoft deals in. They deal in operation systems and accounts. They've been handling emails for years, right? So I would say that, yeah, obviously a company like them understands, okay, we have to be able to give people the ability to change their names out if they want to switch their emails. I guarantee you,
Sony guys never even considered that.
They did not.
They did not.
You know,
they didn't. So obviously 10 years ago, if you're a little Jimmy, right, you know, you name yourself Dickhead, you know, you know, you're stuck being a dickhead for the rest of your life.
Yeah. You know, your mama's booty 347, you know, some shit like that. Like,
here's the funny thing about me. I've been sort of connected to PlayStation stuff even way before the PlayStation Network. My screen name, which I'm not obviously going to give away, was a leftover from when the PlayStation Underground used to exist on the PlayStation 1. So I used to be part of this little PlayStation Underground fan club thing. And you know, you have your name registered. And then once the PlayStation 3 came along, they said, oh yeah, since you're already registered with us, you can just use your PlayStation Underground name and just create your PlayStation account that way. PlayStation 3 account. And that's what I did. So it's
pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I've like, in other words, like, obviously, it says the first year that I started PlayStation 3, PlayStation Network was like in 2008, I guess, when I bought the PlayStation 3. But I had that thing way long before that.
I wonder, there's got to be other people in your same situation, too. I would like to, you know, get their feedback. That's pretty cool. You know,
yeah, so I like, funny thing about PlayStation, like the PlayStation Underground, what they used to do is, you really didn't need to pay for anything. Like, you just kind of register your name with them, and eventually they would send you all kinds of cool stuff. Like, I would get like demos in the mail. In fact, I showed it on Twitter once where they sent you, they call it the Players Council or something like that. And you get a letter from the former president of Sony's, the British guy, what's his name? Andrew House.
Yeah. Andrew House. Yeah.
You get a little signed letter of Andrew House, and he's like, yes, you know, we appreciate your feedback and blah, blah, blah. They give you a little thing, and it had it was like a notebook that you can take, notes in, and then had like memory card things. They send you all kinds of fun stuff back then.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, Brian, you said you wanted to change your name.
I probably did, but I'm at a point now where the cons just outweigh it, and like, it's too risky. Again, I just don't know what will happen, and I think that level of uncertainty is what's getting to me. But I think I'll just stay with the same name, just because I don't want to lose anything.
Yeah, that's what I would do. If I was in your case, I'd be like, nah, I'm not changing it. Fuck that.
Yeah. How old were you when you created your PlayStation screen name?
I was still at university. So what?
It's like 16, 17?
Yeah, like the early days. So yeah, again, it's just one of those things where I just couldn't think of a name, hence I just started putting like random words together, and then I found one that wasn't taken. It's like, cool, I'm using that now. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm actually happy now.
Even though it's a ill bomb ass name, you know, the killer pigeon, man. Ain't nobody fucking with a killer pigeon. You know? That's it. You know, but I guess I think the rest of us said we don't want to change it. Not because, you know, because of the drawbacks, which are numerous, but because we like our names, you know. Romudef, baby, let's go.
I'm changing my name to the real Romudef.
Oh, shit. Man, I actually had to do that on Twitter when they hacked my shit. I made another account and I called it that. Some bullshit.
Damn. That was some weird shit, that one.
Yeah, I think it's because of that I eventually got verified, because I literally said one of my reasons, like, yo, I need to be verified so motherfuckers don't take my identity, you know? It's some fucking bullshit. I don't think there's anything more to say about PlayStation name changes. There you go, you got them, but with a huge caveat.
Well, I'm waiting to hear some of these stories. So far, I've heard good stories on Reddit, seen some good ones. I don't have any issues because no one's playing the older shit, so they don't know if their name is screwed up on the leaderboards of GTA.
Yeah, apparently, if you play, you know, for games made after April 2018, you're good, but before that, which is the vast majority of PlayStation games, you may run into trouble, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's literally PlayStation 3 games.
Yeah,
that's,
and most of PlayStation 4 games, all the Vita games. By the way, Barry Burns says he's going to change his name to PS Home for Life.
Also, there's the other caveat on this. You can only do it once.
Yeah, but you could always go back to your name for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could,
because you own it. That's the other thing. People think that, oh, this is releasing more names. It's not releasing more names. Whoever owns whatever name you want still own it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but like apparently, if you go back to your PlayStation 3, your old name will still be there, right? And same thing with Vita. Yep. Yeah. So yeah, here's the thing. It's like, on the one hand, yes, Sony did let you change your name, but on the other hand, they didn't let you change your name. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't know.
It's a half-ass attempt. It's yes. Yeah, it's better than nothing, though.
Maybe it's a quarter-ass attempt. I don't even think it's half-ass.
To be honest, you know? It's like obviously it's a patch to fix something that was already wrong. It's something that they definitely did not intend to allow people to do. So they're just like, okay, how can we get this to work? Oh, well, we can kind of attach another name to it. So you have like two names. Kind of like how, you know, PlayStation 4, you kind of have two names already, where it's like you can have, if you have it connected to Facebook, you could have your real name show up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you have your screen name.
I think that they have a new database in place behind the scenes that's already taking control, but it couldn't really import the older stuff. So they're like, all right, let's give them the chance to change your name now. But from here on, we're not going to have this issue. You know, because think about it. Let's say 2 years down the road, you decide you want to change your name. You're pretty much good to go if you're just playing the new systems and stuff. So it's okay for you. So then, yeah, we're experiencing this issue now for people that are going back from the older stuff. But for people jumping in, it's not going to be an issue. They're not going to know about this. If they're just jumping in from PlayStation 5, for example.
Yeah, they're not going to know. Yeah.
They're not going to know. They're like, oh, I changed my name all the time. It's like, shit, that wasn't the way a few years before. You couldn't do it. You lose all kinds of shit.
Back in the old days.
Exactly.
All right, man. Let's move on here. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice sells 2 million copies in 10 days. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and 1.5 got returned because they were too damn hard.
It's too difficult. You know?
That's pretty good for a game that doesn't respect its players, right?
Oh. Yeah, so Chris, I asked the Sekiro player here, what do you make of this?
I mean, people are hungry for a challenge. You know, that's all I could say. Like, From Software has a good pedigree, and people want it. Like this game definitely is harder than Dark Souls. I'm telling you, if I haven't played all of them, I'm playing this game. Like, yeah, I'm getting better at it, but definitely locks you in into certain things. Now, I will say they lightened up on a couple of things, though. You can pause this game. If you go to your menu, it stops. That's never happened in a Dark Souls game ever. Like, nothing stops in there. But maybe because this is not online. Or maybe that was an Activision directive. I don't know. But other than that, like, it's pretty rigid. But I'd say From Software has earned that pedigree. People like challenging games. And that's why this game is selling like it is.
And especially, like, nowadays, man, you see, like, some of those friggin' pimp videos that people are putting out where they're, like, doing all this stuff. I'm like, damn, this almost looks like a cinematic. You're doing this so good. You know?
Yeah, I've seen some speed runs that I'm like, shit, man, these guys are good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. By the way, shout out to Richard Bailey Jr. I'm talking to him right now. But I can't announce something until April 12th. So I'll wait, which is today for you guys. But look at my Twitter. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's good, man. You know, it's good when you know, good games sell. And I'll get, that's all I got to say about that.
I mean, eventually I plan to pick that one up, but I think I'm moving at Brian's speed now. You know, take a couple of generations over, you know.
I don't know about that. I think you're slower than Brian at this point, you know.
No, I mean, I'm still
Brian's and that's not a diss, it's just an observation, you know, like Brian moves at a steady clip, you know.
I'm still playing current games.
So maybe you guys are evened out, you know what I'm saying?
No, I say Manny's like ahead of me. Like
he's really?
He's like completed Nier. He's finished. He's played more God of War, played more Spider-Man than me. So yeah, I say he's more.
But you did that. You got more for speed. You got that platinum. That's a
But Brian, I thought you played more older games like in the same time span than Manny. Like didn't you get like five platinums or something?
In terms of playing, So in terms of like the amount of games played, if that makes sense, like the scale of games as like a timeline, I probably have more on Manny than that, but he's played more recent games.
Yes,
chances are he'll get to Sekiro before I do.
Yeah, so I guess both you guys are even then, you know, in different ways. Like you play more games than he does, but he plays more modern games. Even if it's three modern games, that's still three times more than you. So yeah, very interesting, man. All right, where are we right now? Okay, I wish Brett was here for this one. Dragon Age 4 development reportedly rebooted in late 2017. Man, what is up with BioWare these days, man? This is crazy.
What is up with BioWare and what is up with EA?
Yes.
Well, we said this last year. We said if Anthem bombed, that they were in huge trouble. But here's the other thing. Anthem also set a precedent. EA wants live services. They don't want games like Inquisition and Mass Effect Andromeda anymore.
Yeah,
they want Dragon Age Online. So that's probably why they rebooted it. So that's why now the directive is they're going to use the Anthem base from Frostbite to build Dragon Age. Why would you do that if you're already playing the game? Because you wanted live services. It's not going to be a standalone game anymore.
I mean, if you guys played Dragon Age Online in the last game, fucking terrible, you know, horrible. Like that's what we're probably going to get that now, you know. Oh man, we said if Anthem bombs, we got to worry about BioWare. I think Dragon Age 4 will probably be the last nail in the coffin.
Granted, I almost feel like it's just like I'm almost at the point where I've already kind of counted out BioWare. They're not the same company that we wanted.
The two doctors left years ago.
They left, right? They left after Mass Effect 3. Yeah.
And there you go. Their creative mindset right there.
You know, so like it's like all the people that made see, that's the one thing I think people need to understand. It's like at some point, once all the people that have left that made these games what they were are gone, what is left? I mean, I don't know. A name.
That's
it's it. Just yeah. a name. They say the same thing has happened with Bungie. All the people that actually made Bungie are gone. All the people that made those Halo games, that made those, what was that, Marathon? All those people are gone.
Yeah. A lot of them went back to 343. They went back to 343 and they went to other studios that they were familiar with, Microsoft Studios.
This is a little bit unrelated, but still kind of. This is also the same thing we keep telling people that want to see a Dreamcast too. It's like all those Sega guys, they're all gone too, man. Gone. You know?
Right? You want to talk about all those classic games that existed for there. All those people are gone. Yu Suzuki doesn't work at Sega anymore. He's got his own company. Yeah. The guy who essentially created Sonic the Hedgehog, he's gone. He's long gone.
Yeah, Yuji Naka's gone.
Yuji Naka.
You know, the guys at Konami, those guys are all gone.
Yeah,
you know?
All the guys that made, pretty much all the guys that have created all your favorite titles, with the exception, with the exception of a few, are all gone. You know, all those, what we call the auteur creators, like, you know, Kojima and, Igarashi, you know, the guy who created Silent Hill, both of them are gone. the guy who directed the original Silent Hill, he's at Sony. The guy who essentially, you know, helmed Silent Hill is gone somewhere else. He's at Sony too. Well, no, he's not at Sony, but he's somewhere else. The guy who essentially did all the music for the Silent Hill games, he had moved over to Suda51's company. So there's who's left over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But I remember I don't have it linked here, but basically BioWare or EA, one of those fuck companies, said that the future of Dragon Age 4 depends on the success of Anthem.
Yeah, I'm sure because they put so much money into it, and all the other things that EA have released this past year or so hasn't done well. Andromeda hasn't done well. The Battlefront scandal, that didn't sell, and then now Battlefield
also didn't sell. That's another one. EA, you man.
It's just their sports series. Not even, it's just FIFA that's making money, because even an NBA Live didn't sell.
Yeah, it's like everything. It's like the opposite of the Midas touch with EA now. You know, like everything turns to rust.
It's like a Gorgon or something.
Yeah, right.
I think the one thing about EA is that there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. You know, when it comes to these sorts of titles, they are dictating what these companies should be making. Obviously, you know, when they're, you know, trying to control it. I mean, I feel like the only real way to make anything worth it at EA is not to be a multi-expensive sort of game anymore. It's to try to make smaller titles in order for it to do. But even then, like, remember with the EA, creators plan? Remember what was like, they had Suda51, they had the guys, you know, they had Sucker Punch, right, making a game, and they had another company, another studio making a game for them, and all those games bombed. That's Shadows of the Damned. It's that crazy, what was that? That one shooter.
The shotgun. He had the magical shotgun.
He had the magical shotgun that was it was like a torch shotgun. Shadows of the Damned, the Suda51 game. They had that other game was by Sucker Punch, which was that that first person shooter game that everybody thought was going to be Black?
Homefront?
Brink.
Yeah, I think was it Brink, right? It was that one where everybody liked the
parkour trailer. Jumping around and shooting.
It was that one. They wanted that one, and then there was a bunch of others, and all those games bombed because, you know, if you've done any research on some of those games, like, again, EA trying to do their thing, saying, oh no, you're going to do this. You're not going to do what you want. So it's like, okay, so then why did you hire me if you just wanted me to make the same old bullshit game, you know?
Hold on. It says Brink was made by Bethesda.
Was it Fuse, maybe?
It was Fuse.
There you go. It was Fuse, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
That was Insomniac. Insomniac, by the way.
That was Insomniac, sorry. Yeah, so it's like they had all those companies like under their creators program, and all those games bombed.
Yeah. By the way, when I said Black, that is also an EA game. But we were talking about Fuse.
I actually like that game.
Black was actually a really good game.
I love that game.
That was the one that had destructible environments and all that stuff.
Yeah, Criterion too. You know, EA, man, what happened? Well,
Bad Company, those had destructible environments.
Bad Company was a good game though.
Yeah, and they just left it after Bad Company too. They never went back to it.
Yeah, it's the same because, like, you realize when you do any digging into EA, you realize how many franchises they essentially burned to the ground, like franchises
and studios they've killed,
and turned to studios that they have also just burned to the ground. I mean, they own the, what was it? They owned the company that did
Dead Space. Remember?
Visceral's gone. Yeah. They got the guys that did, what was it, Red Alert. They had those guys. They bought that company and gone.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
The guy who created The Sims, they own his company. And that company is amazing.
And I also blame these studios, though, for selling. You know, just come on, believe in your product and say, you know what, I think we could do this on our own. We got this. Nope.
I don't know. I mean, like, especially when you come to like, it comes to like, you know, some of these studios were obviously mostly independent studios.
Yeah.
When Big Brother comes around with a big old checkbook and says, yo, I don't know how many people are going to just say no.
Exactly.
No, they never do. That's why we're hearing all the scandals with, remember the Borderlands 3 and Epic and all that with exclusivity deals. It's because they take the quick money up front.
Yeah.
Why wait for sales when you can get a big ass check?
But you can't really blame them either. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean,
no.
Yeah, again, it's hard to look away when you have this big, you know, with the big guy coming over with essentially a blank checkbook saying, "Hey, you got some good shit here. I'm gonna buy all of it."
And this is why people don't believe in the whole thing with Bungie. And they're like, "Oh yeah, they're done with these big companies." Bullshit. If another one comes along and says, "Hey, here's some money. Want to join us?" Okay.
Yeah, if Microsoft came back around and said, "Hey, you want to join us?" And they'll be like, "Here, blank check. Okay, we'll just do it again."
Plus, I mean, it's job security for a lot of these guys. So
it's hard. I mean, it's definitely hard to run a company like that, especially if you're making AAA games with the way things are just expanding. Things get so much more expensive, you know, to do. Obviously, you know, if you want to, you know, guarantee that, you know, your company is going to continue to exist the next 10 years, sometimes you just got to sign that check and be like, "All right, do it."
It's crazy, man. All right. Any last thoughts on Dragon Age and all this other shit? Oh, Salud. I hear that from Adam's background.
That's so crazy. And that's like on the other side of the house, down the hall, behind two doors.
You got powerful mic. Yeah.
This is the fucking Yeti mic sponsored. There you go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right. Speaking about, you know, games that probably don't exist because they're not live service games. So Ubisoft CEO explained why Splinter Cell has been gone. He basically chalked it up, and I kind of call BS on this. He said that the other studios are so busy with other games that they don't have time for Splinter Cell, but they do want to bring it back. It's like, really, man? I think it's because you don't know how to turn it into a live service game. That's why. That's just my theory, but that's what I think is going on.
Why did they tease us with bringing Sam back over in Wildlands?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You know, they made it seem like, "Oh, look, he's here. You know him. You want him back."
He says that he also doesn't want to let the fans down and make a game that they wouldn't want. I don't know. I think it's because they're stuck. Like, how do we turn this into a live service game?
Yeah. When I read his interview, it kind of didn't make sense to me because he was saying, "Oh, teams were kind of anxious about the next Splinter Cell. They'd rather work on Assassin's Creed." I'm like, "No, motherfucker, you want Assassin's Creed because it sells.
Exactly.
And you want a live service game. And Splinter Cell Blacklist probably didn't do as well. So you're like, oh, shelve it, you know?
Just throw him in the Division. He could be DLC. We could come across him with the agency. It'll fit perfect.
I'll be hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they already stole the cover mechanic from Splinter Cell.
That's what I'm saying. And they put them in Wildlands, which is pretty much similar controls. So I'm like, all right, well, this makes more sense than that because it's that whole urban environment, military over in Washington.
They're like, we don't know how to make, we don't, we have this shooter control scheme we've been using for like four different games. We can't get it to work with a Splinter Cell game.
And my thing is, like, and let's just be honest right now, when it comes to stealth games, the main stealth game was always Metal Gear, right? Metal Gear, that don't exist anymore effectively. They could really come in and, like, plant the flag, like, we are the premier stealth game. Right now, that's Hitman, and that's a good thing. That game's fantastic, but we need Sam Fisher back, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, they could literally be like, yeah, we are the tactical espionage action game.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, you know, again, Hitman is fucking awesome, but that's a very different type of stealth experience. Like, Splinter Cell and Metal Gear are kind of comparable, you know? So, yeah, they could do that, man. I don't know. What's going on, Annihilator? All right. Next up here. Okay. We'll have more information for you guys when it announces, but, you know, because it's going to be Saturday, I believe. They're going to have a Star Wars celebration, but they announced Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. You know, EA, that's another EA game. But this game is being made by Respawn, you know, the Titanfall guys. And what I got here for you guys is some of the leaks surrounding this game. Not just the announcement, but the leaks too. Apparently, this is, to my surprise, a single-player game.
Excuse me?
Yeah, like, what?
Is it the Amy Henning game?
No, it's not. This is the one that they were already working on. And then when I heard this, I was like, well, this explains everything then.
Yeah.
Because they were like, you know what? We already have a single-player in development. Which one looks better? You know, and that's probably what they did. They were like, you know what? You're probably a longer on a development cycle, or it does look better than what Amy was doing. And they said, all right, scrap that one.
Yeah, what's going on, Glorious War? And here's the other interesting part. You know how, you know, well, BioWare specifically had many issues with the Frostbite engine, right? They couldn't really get it to work. It seems like it's a mandate from EA. Like, every game needs to use the Frostbite.
Needs to be, yeah.
According to this leak, this game's going to run on Unreal 4. Very interesting.
Well, Respawn already used that for Apex Legends, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. So that maybe they're like, hey, we're not using fucking Frostbite.
Yeah.
Let's use what we.
I just thought about something, Chris. Like, now that Respawn is kind of up there because of Apex Legends, they could probably flex their muscles a little bit. Like, nope, we ain't switching to no Frostbite.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Chris.
They can, because, I mean, let's be real. Apex Legends pulled their fat. If it wasn't for Apex Legends, Anthem would be a bigger deal to EA's bottom line. But because Apex Legends is making a ton of money with active users and microtransactions, that's not the case. And Respawn built it the way they wanted to. So they have a lot more clout now. They're like, you know, I mean, it's FIFA and them right now making EA money.
Yeah, let's be real. Yeah. Adam, you disagree with that?
No, because I don't know if we've even heard the numbers. We know the player base numbers, but how much money, how much are they making off of whatever consumables and those type of things? They haven't released that yet.
Haven't they? I thought they did.
Saw the numbers of playing consecutive players, like some ridiculous number within like what, a few million?
I don't remember the exact number, but they did release how much money the game earned in like the first 2 weeks and stuff. It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
I remember it's free.
I remember
exactly. But that's what I'm saying. I don't need
check it out. This is from March 21st, which is a couple weeks ago. The headline, this is from, I don't know what the fuck. Apex Legends made record-breaking revenue in its first month. Let's see. Where's the money, though? I got to see them cash signs. $92 million in this.
That's good money.
Yeah.
For what, like skins on a gun since first person? Yep,
exactly. Yep.
What is the point?
Oh, there you go. I think this is the money maker right now, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they were probably like, nah, we're not using no Frostbite. Fuck that. We got the hottest selling game right now.
Well, the one good thing with Respawn is they said that they have not given up on...
Hottest earning game, I should say. Go ahead,
Adam. They have not given up on what Titanfall, the universe is, which is Titans. It's about the robots. They said they want to bring that in.
Yeah, bring that shit back, man.
So... we'll see.
Glorious Word says Siphon Filter for a comeback. We'll see about that. Fortnite is back on top. That's right, because Apex Legends, I believe, overtook Fortnite for a little bit. Now it looks like Fortnite's back. Interesting. Apex Battle Pass was trash. What's Battle Pass?
That's that system where it's like their own version of it, like a season pass.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. You get like perks. So you get like bonuses and stuff like that per week, per kill, those type of things. You get certain drops and stuff like that, cosmetics.
Yeah. So we got that. Let's see what other rumors, but that's pretty interesting. It says aesthetic. I'm reading this for comicbook.com. Aesthetically, it will resemble Rogue One in Solo. Though there will be some prequel flair. All right, whatever. It's going to be canon game, too. It's not going to be some, like, you know, other universe type of deal.
You mean like the Battlefront field or whatever? Battlefront? Star Wars Battlefront?
Battlefront 2?
Yeah. he's going to have a backpack that's actually a droid that's going to talk to him.
It's Ratchet, right?
No, it's Clank. It's his Clank, basically. Yes. They said the gameplay, Chris, you're gonna love this, comparable to Dark Souls, with an emphasis on parrying, like Sekiro.
Okay. Oh, my favorite mechanic.
Yeah, because they said, you know, because you're playing as a Jedi, they really want you to feel the, you know, what it's like to, you know, during lightsaber
battles.
Number
one, it's like, okay, number one, you're like a space wizard as in Jedi and like friggin' Jedi games. Why would you make it like Dark Souls? Essentially, you're like the master of the universe. Like, why?
I don't think they mean in terms of difficulty. I think they mean in terms of combat. That's probably what they mean. And they said there's going to be wall running and parkour.
Of course. That means it's most likely using the damn Titanfall engine.
They're like, we know how to make people run off walls.
Yeah. The game's going to be. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The game's going to be semi-open world. You're going to travel to a bunch of different worlds. That's pretty interesting. Every time you get to a new area, you'll need to explore it to push the narrative. Each planet will also have new ways to upgrade items. Okay, so there's going to be upgrading in there. Because, of course, there's got to be upgrading. And again, people, take all this with a grain of salt, you know. But we will learn the official deal on Saturday. So ask those questions about it for the question show, you know.
Who's the Foles?
Yeah, otherwise known as Throw Down Your Questions. I keep calling it the question show.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Yeah. And again, slow week and no Brett. So this is our last story of the night. Man.
Oh, man, what's up with that?
Hey, the gaming news.
He wasn't here to yell about Dragon Age.
He wasn't here about Dragon Age or yell about.
Son of bitches! Dragon Age!
You know? So this one's a kind of funny one. So an anonymous millionaire wants to set up a real-life battle royale on a private island.
Yeah, that's a fucking scary shit. Yeah, no, thank you.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah,
and I would definitely tune in to watch it, though.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be violent, obviously. And apparently some other millionaire did something similar to this not too long ago. So yeah, he wants to set it up on an island, 100 people. And I think they shoot each other with, you know, not guns, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was balloons. You got to pop each other balloons or something.
You know what? This will probably happen as a game show.
Yeah. And it says the last person standing will win 100,000, whatever that fucking British shit is.
Pounds.
Pounds.
Yeah, pounds, I guess. Yeah. So what is that, like $5 American? I don't know.
Oh, shit.
No, it's not like that.
A pound is.
Pound's actually worth more than fucking dollars, you know?
I think the Euro Trump thing.
Yeah. The plan is for the anonymous millionaire to acquire a private island, which will be the setting for this real-life battle royale. The competition will run for 3 days with 12 hours of competition each day. During the nighttime, players will be able to camp for the night. All camping gear and food will be provided. So you don't find a shit on the island, you know? Maybe you do. I don't know. So,
I think this is going to happen. It's going to happen.
My question is, would any of you guys sign up for something crazy like this? Adam, I'm looking your way. Adam, would you do it?
I don't know. Maybe.
That's shit right there, man.
Maybe. It depends. It depends on where we're going and the setup. I mean, this might be. Think about it. Can I cosplay? Can I dress up like Rambo or do that whole thing? Somebody can dress up like Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe. I mean, you could have some fun with this if you think about it.
Think about how meta this is, because you said, you know, what if they turn it into a TV show? So
it definitely would be. That's how he's going to recoup some of this money.
But, we're one step away from Running Man.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm like, okay.
Literally the Running Man.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. So you have a game that was inspired by a movie that's inspiring possibly a TV show or The Running Man. Oh, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah,
we come full circle. You know,
there we go.
Here is Sub-Zero. Now just plain Zero.
It's like Street Fighter. Yeah. You know? Street Fighter, the game, movie, UFC, all of it. It all comes together.
That's crazy. Adam, remember old school UFC? That shit was like Street Fighter.
Oh, that was
the best.
Nothing tops the guy who had one boxing glove on. And he had an open hand and one boxing glove because he was a boxer and he thought he was going to win like that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I always love when like they have a boxer versus like a ninja, so like you know how that shit's going to end, you know?
Adam, I remember you had one of your teachers at
Henzo Gracie, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, shit.
With his nephew, when I trained with Henzo, his nephew was Royce Gracie, and Royce Gracie is the one that won all those Ultimate Fighters.
Royce Gracie used to fucking cheat. He would grab people's
he was doing the gi. That's gi technique. And he was submitting them, and they didn't even know what the hell he was doing. They're like, why is he grabbing me? Oh, my God, he's choking them. And they were tapping, and they couldn't figure out, was that legal? It was like, I was like, but he didn't punch him.
He didn't punch him. I know that's off track. I remember dudes like Dan Severn, you know, that big motherfucker.
Yeah. And fun fact with Dan, didn't get hurt in UFC, got hurt when he went to WWE and pro wrestling, okay, and had to retire.
I remember when Royce Gracie was fighting in like the modern UFC, he got, I think he was fighting Tito Ortiz, he got fucked up.
Yeah,
you know,
it wasn't as a but also everybody started learning Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so they knew his techniques, so they knew when he came in to grab him what he was going to do, so working on defense for that.
Yeah, whatever happened to Tank Abbott?
He was just a brawler.
That dude looks like he was just a bar fighter.
That's it. He was known in that circuit for doing those big tough man brawls, and he tried to get into pro wrestling and it didn't work out, and there goes that. Remember Don Fry with the big mustache?
That's right.
You know,
man, old school wrestling was fucking awesome, man. I missed that.
They had characters. They definitely had characters.
Yeah, right. It was real life Street Fighter. It was a real life Street Fighter because you had the old, like, basically every fighting style on earth just fighting against each other, you know?
That's it. And you can punch in the nuts.
We could. Whatever, but you saw, yeah, but in the end, jiu-jitsu always won. And now, like, regular UFC is pretty much jiu-jitsu. Everybody's jiu-jitsu now, you know? It's interesting, man. All right. So let's do our my favorite fiddling segment. What games have you been playing? Manny, I'm going to you. You've actually been playing games, man.
Yes. My schedule has been pretty light this week. I finished off Excellence, my book that's coming, is coming out this month. But we always, in the comic industries, always work a few months in advance. So while you guys are getting issue one, I just finished issue four, and I'm going on to issue five. This is the way most comic books are done these days.
What's this one about? What's it about?
This one is about, sorry to work in a plug to my own
book. Nah, man, fuck it. We got to fill time, man.
Oh, yeah. So this one is about, like, magicians, the idea is, like, it's Harry Potter, but it's, like, black characters. So it's, like, these mystic wizards, like from Africa and all this stuff, they're in this world, but they're kind of like somewhat hidden, and they kind of like do all kinds of stuff to kind of help things. And they kind of control things and all kinds of other crazy stuff. So anyway, the story, some big stuff happens in the story. The main character finds some sort of revelation and that sort of stuff. So it's kind of like magic and all that stuff, which is weird to be doing this again, because when I started my career in doing professional comics, my first book was a book called Kara's Magic. So I'm like, 9 years later, I'm working on another magic book with Kari. Kind of interesting how things kind of swirl around. So yeah, but it's a, so finished that issue. So I have a little bit more free time. So I've been able to kind of sit down and just, do a little bit of, I have some other projects I can't talk about that I've been working on, but also not a lot. So I've been able to play some games. So I've been playing Kingdom Hearts.
What do you think of it?
So far, I like it. Here's the one thing about it. Like, and I don't know if you felt this. So, okay, back in Kingdom Hearts 2/1 days, right? You had, it had a lot of, classic Disney stuff. Now we're in the kind of dimension of stuff that I don't have any sort of emotional connection to.
Yeah.
So it's like Big Hero 6. What is that? A Frozen, Tangled. Maybe the Toy Story stuff, because I was, when I was a little bit younger. But yeah, like a lot of this more new stuff, I really don't have this sort of connection to. And it's a little bit interesting. Obviously, it's made for those sorts of fans of those things, but I kind of find myself a little slightly disconnected from it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand. Like, I mean, even though I didn't play the older games, like whenever the, like, I guess older character would show up, like, hey, there's Donald, there's Mickey. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have that connection. Oh, there's Hercules, there's Simba. You have that connection. But with these new guys, Ariel, exactly. But, you go to Big Hero 6, I'm like, okay, I don't know who these people are, Yeah, I don't watch these movies,
Yeah, like, I liked Tangled. But I really don't have that much of a connection to it.
The thing is, that was Rapunzel, so I understood the story at least,
But I mean, like for Frozen, I didn't like that movie, to be honest.
I never saw it, but I don't watch cartoon movies.
You don't watch that sort of stuff. And then, I'm in Pirates of the Caribbean World, but I never saw the one that this is.
Yes, I didn't see that one either.
Directly connected to. So there's kind of stuff that's in it that I'm like, why is he doing this? He's made of crabs now? What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so it's a little bit of a thing, but I do one thing. I'm in the Pirates of the Caribbean section now, and I'm actually really liking it because it's like, holy shit. Okay, so the last few levels were just kind of like, hey, this is kind of big, open, sort of linear sort of world. For Pirates of the Caribbean, it's open world-ish.
Yeah, it's open world-ish. Yeah, it's kind of, I really like the graphics of it because it's kind of realistic. Interesting.
They kind of did something they never did on the previous, so Pirates of the Caribbean was in Kingdom Hearts 2, and they kind of just gave Jack and all the characters a little bit of a, kind of a semi-cartoony look. So, but this time around, they redid everything. Well, they gave everybody they gave all the Kingdom Hearts characters, like the, you know, like Sora and Donald and Goofy, they gave them kind of a realistic texturing to them. So like Goofy actually looks like he's fuzzy. He's got a little bit of a fuzz to him. Donald Duck actually looks like he's got feathers on him, and the lighting on it is really nice. But what they did was they kind of split the difference. So like they made them look a little bit more realistic, and then they made Jack and them kind of look a little more stylized.
Yeah.
So they're still slightly stylized, but they're not like, they don't look realistic like the movie.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Another one is Monsters, Inc. I'm like, I don't know. I have no connection. I've never seen that. So I'm like,
yeah, I mean, I knew the movies. I saw the two movies. I enjoyed them, but I'm not so connected to those films. I at least knew enough where I was walking around like, oh, hey, look, it's all the doors and this is the thing. But I really do. Yeah, it's interesting sort of playing because, like, again, like playing Kingdom Hearts 2, you're going through Tron and like you're going through like Little Mermaid World. You're going through like, you know, and one of them, it was like Sleeping Beauty. They had all these different things. So it's like, I'm a little, I wish there was a little bit more like older Disney stuff in there. But that's just me. I mean, so far I'm enjoying the game. I didn't expect the Pirates of the Caribbean world to be as big as it was, or big as it is, to be honest. Like, I'm thinking, usual business where it's like, you know, you take the, you know, you get on the thing and then it just goes to the next location. Nope. You got to like sail the ship around. It's essentially Assassin's Creed. It becomes Assassin's Creed Light.
Yeah. Like Assassin's Creed Black. Yeah.
It's like Black Flag, but it's like the ship is just, there's no like real physics to it. Just kind of, you can turn on a dime on that crazy ship, but they just made it super easy to control. And you have cannons, you just press cannons on the thing and that's it. So it's like, okay, it's like a light version of that sort of idea. And you get the sort of exploration bit to it where you have all these different islands that you can go to. So I'm enjoying it so far. I mean, I think this section is going to probably take me the longest, to be honest. But
yeah, it's not as long as you think, though. If you stick to the linear path, you could get through it pretty fast.
Dude, I'm literally playing for keeps, man. I'm literally searching out every single thing.
Okay, so you're going to be there a while then?
I've 100%ed every single world up to now. So, like, I got all the treasure chests. I got all the hidden Mickeys. I did all the, there's these Flan missions where you, like, you find this, like monster, like, in the ground, and he does, like, a little, like you have like a mini game that's connected to them. I've gotten those things. So every single world I just play it until I'm all the way done. I got everything in it.
Sounds good. That makes sense. And you have a plan, you know.
And I platinum trophied Double Switch.
Oh, there you go. tell us about Double Switch, man. What do you think
Double
of that?
Switch, it's called the Double Switch 35th anniversary, I want to say. 35th or 20th, something like that. Anyway, Double Switch is an old Sega CD game made by Digital Pictures. Digital Pictures, if you don't know, made all those full motion videos games from the back in the day. Ground Zero Texas, Sewer Shark, whatever that Kung Fu something. What was the name?
Night Trap.
What was that Kung Fu game it was called?
By the way, I need to jump in and say
Tomcat Alley.
It must be 25th anniversary because 35 years ago CDs were not.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
25th anniversary. So
45 year anniversary.
Yeah, right. I can't remember
of The Last of Us. Yeah.
So yeah, like it was like Tomcat Alley. Was it Corpse Killer? And then whatever that Kung Fu game was, I can't remember the name of that one. But anyway, so this one was this company, Screaming Villains, has done. They did Night Trap previously, so now they decided to do the other big game that they did, which was Double Switch. Double Switch back in the day actually did really well for what it was. This was the first one where they were trying to kind of, you know, push down, you know, like essentially pin that. Okay, you know, we got, you know, real actors and we got, you know, real sets and all
one
that
of the stuff. Coreys and the guy from Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. Corey Feldman, excuse me. Corey Haim is in it. And so is Arlie Ermey. And then a few other people that you kind of recognize as like extras and things like that from they've been in a lot of movies as extras and things. And yeah, and it was directed by a person who used to do a lot of music videos for MTV. So, you know, she So it was a fun game. Fun to kind of go back and play a game that wasn't 50 million hours long.
Yeah, how long was it?
I don't know about. I want to say like you could beat it. There was about an hour, and you can probably, if you cut it down, you could beat it in a less time, an hour or two. Not a long game, and I played it multiple times in different ways and got all the trophies, and wasn't bad. And they did some cool things that, you know, quality of life changes to the game. So previously in the game, what you had to do is like the way the traps kind of set off is you kind of have these little things on the bottom, right? And you have to set them off each one by using the D-pad. Like, you know, you go to one and then you set it off by pressing a button. So this one, they put all three traps onto a separate button so that you can kind of click each button to kind of do it, as opposed to going to it specifically and activating and deactivating things. So they made the game slightly easier just by.
So it's like Simon, like playing Simon, old school Simon. It lights up and you press it quick and.
No, you kind of have to in each room of the hotel that you're like surveillance system. If they step on a specific thing, you have to hit the corresponding trap to do it, but you have to essentially set it first and then release it once they step on it. But the way they did it now is like, now you don't need to move the user D-pad to control it, to put it on the specific trap that you want it to. The traps are actually located onto specific buttons. So if you want
trap assigned buttons, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want trap number one, which is me, let's just say for the sake of conversation, it's a fireplace trap. You can press that, or if you realize, because sometimes the videos do little switcheroos on you where they'll walk near a trap and then they'll walk toward another one. So then you press that one. Then if you're like, oh, wait, nope, that one does not get it. You release that trap and then you can press the trap on another one. So it was good. And I got all the trophies in it. I got the secret ending and all kinds of other fun stuff. So it was nice. And it was not a hard platinum, I have to say.
And then you said when you beat the game, there's like a long list of people that are like dead now, right?
Oh, God. So like there is at least 10 people involved in this game that are dead, like gone. So like, so it starts off like, you know, like as soon as you end the thing off, they show off like one of the stunt ladies. She died not too long after the game was produced. They had another guy who was in one of the bands. He had died. There was this other dude, this other guy was like a record producer who played in the game. He was like a guy who played extras and he did all kinds of other film stuff. Then obviously, Corey Haim. And then Arlie Ermey, which was the two more recent ones. Corey died in 2010. The other guy who was like the record producer, he died in 15 or so. And then Arlie died, in 2018. So it was a lot. I'm like, damn, it's like in that 25 years, all these people just gone. So insane.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. All right. Sad. Yeah. Brian, what have you been playing lately?
I actually have been finishing up God of War 3 Remaster. So I put a hiatus on Just Cause 3 because it gets really repetitive doing the same things over and over again.
Yep.
Like, again, the game is great fun, but when you're trying to go for the platinum and that you're going out, you're clearing like every single village and there's so many of them, you just get really tired of it. So I thought, okay, you know what? Let's just take a break. You know, don't burn yourself out. So I'm playing some God of War 3 Remaster because it's one of my favorite games on PS3. And yeah, that's about it. Just been playing that and Guild Warframe again. I'm back after like a long hiatus.
Oh shit!
Oh, so were you able to retrieve your data and everything?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So pretty much the guys had came in, cleaned out most of my account with stuff. But luckily, the wonderful people at Warframe Support were able to just get everything back.
Wait, somebody hacked into your account? I don't remember.
Yeah, on the show earlier,
mm-hmm. Not long ago.
Yeah, he said that they hacked his shit. That's good. Wow. I'm glad. I'm glad they did.
Wow. They were able to give you back all of the stuff that you lost?
Everything.
Damn.
Everything. So yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess the wait was a good. The wait sucked, but at least they were able to get everything back to you.
Mm. Oh, that's good. So, I'm glad.
Currently in God of War 3, I have just beat Hades, I'm about to go to I'd fight Kronos. And yeah, I think, is it the Pit of Tartarus?
Yeah.
Item, if I'm not correctly? Yeah. I'm just about to go there and fight Kronos.
Nice.
That was such a cool battle.
Yeah, the one. Kronos was crazy.
Literally fighting like a giant.
And of course, I'm going for the platinum again, because why the hell not? I got it the first time, so might as well just get it again.
So, okay. So, as I remember, you said that this one had some things that they did not fix from the previous one, right?
Yes. There's still a glitch that you can do to beat it with... you beat on Titan mode, I think it is? Titan mode, which is like the hardest difficulty. And there's like a glitch that you can do to like do it in like 1.5 hours. Really quite strange and cool. It's basically you get all the weapons, and because there's a point where you go to the underworld and there's like the chains, and you need to break them with only the weapons you get from killing Hercules. But since you have it, you can just break the chains and then you fight Zeus.
Oh, then shit. You skip
everything from when you first land into Hades realms. And then you go straight to Zeus, and that's it. So no Labyrinth, no Hephaestus, no Kronos fight. Just straight. Come in, you kill Poseidon, go to Hades, fight Zeus.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah. I don't know how they found it. Like, seriously, I have no idea how they found it. Like, yeah. I swear that some people just, like, spend 10 hours a day just trying different combinations of everything.
Only 10 hours.
I always feel like it's a someone like on the inside, like a developer who says, "Hey, you want to find a little secret?" Yeah.
Now I think it's a dedicated guy, because I've talked to a lot of developers where they're even like, "Yo, we don't know how these fans find this shit." You know, people are dedicated, man.
But I feel like if you have thousands and thousands of people kind of brute forcing, trying to figure out ways to kind of get through things, and then iterating on top of those things. You definitely find those things. So like, let's say, what if a game, here's a funky thing for, let's say for the sake of conversation, it takes about a year or two to kind of, to vet a lot of these sorts of secrets and things inside of a game. What if you finish the game early, right? And then you let it loose on one of those guys, right? Those, you know, like a bunch of those sorts of guys that just kind of bump in the game and try to find secrets and things, you know, or, you know, skips. That'd be insane.
Yeah, we'll also delay the game, you know.
Yeah, I mean, wow. No, what I'm saying,
because you're essentially giving them a finished game, you know. It's like, hey, poke holes in it, you know.
That's pretty much what has to be happening. You have to have a finished game and just have them poke holes inside of it.
It's interesting, man. All right, Brian, anything else?
No, just that. So mostly Just Cause, mostly God of War 3 and Just Cause 3.
Nice. All right, Chris, besides The Division, what have you been playing lately?
Oh, I'm still going through Sekiro. I got up to the Genshiro fight, but I stopped it. He, like, beat my ass. So I got to... What I'm doing is I'm going around farming skill points so I can get those, like, shinobi skills and all that stuff. And then update... There's, like, he has latent abilities, which just means, like, you get more health or your posture damage. It takes more... get more posture, get more vitality, all that stuff. So I'm going around just like stealth killing guys, and you collect skill points so I can spend them to upgrade them. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Nice. Adam, besides The Division, what have you been playing lately?
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on Switch, and today, really, Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Well, just Punch Out, because they took out the Mike Tyson.
Yeah, they took out Mike Tyson, yeah.
You know, but I think I might actually finish it now. So, because I've been doing the save states, because before you had to do the codes. And
yeah,
shit.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do the codes work?
Yeah, the codes. You can put the codes. You know, it's a ROM. It's just the NES ROM. It's the same shit. So, yeah. But that's what I've been doing. That's pretty much it. You know, the rest is just watching videos on Division, trying to find these hidden spots, get the goodies.
Yeah, we're going to get to Division in a bit. That's going to be the last thing. Because, you know, for you guys who don't know, me, Adam, and Chris, every night, except for podcast nights, every night we play this game. It's crazy. Fucking, let's talk about Division now then, man.
Got ripped. You want to tell them how we got ripped off last night?
Oh, hold on. Sorry for you guys, man. Okay, so what we're trying to do now is basically in the game, when you fight... like the caravans or whatever, it raises the alert levels of control points, right? Control points, regular control points give you good, nice goodies. But if you raise the levels, you get even better goodies, right? So we spent like a good hour raising the level up to level 3. It's like, okay, that's it, level 3. And we had like an hour or so, you know, before the servers reset. This mission was fucking hard. Like me, it was us three and my cousin. We're there, you know, banging away at this and getting fucking killed. It was brutal, right? So we finally beat this mission with like 6 minutes to spare, right? And basically, when you get to a control point, you need to have these NPCs come in to, you know, kind of take it over and stuff. And then they unlock the door for you, right? The main NPC we needed was fucking dead on the ground. It's like, yo, what the fuck could we do? So we leave, come back. And as soon as we open that fucking door, servers stop. They just shut down, you know? So we lost all that shit, you know? After like an hour of struggling, man, you know?
I mean, we did get credit for completing it, and we got the money, whatever, because it's pretty much on challenging mode.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah,
get,
yeah, it
but
is.
But
yeah.
We didn't get the what we wanted, the which blueprint. Is if you beat it on. Yeah, if you beat
right,
it
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Adam, tell the people, what is our ultimate goal in this game right now? What is the thing that we've been working for like 2 weeks now?
Shit, well, right now it's just trying to find all the obscure stuff in the game.
SMG, so we, man, that's the shit.
Yeah, we were doing it. We tried for the chatterbox. We tried to get that one. We did all the, we had the keys and we went to all the hyena spots, but it's random drops in those cases. So we weren't getting the components that we need for it. We didn't. Not fine. We have parts for the gun. We don't have the blueprint for the gun. So we're like, all right. So we also been going for the masks. It's 12 masks. You have to kill hunters for it. We have 6 of the masks. And what we were doing last night is that if you clear these areas into wave 3 or what they call like level 3 of the drops that you get will be the rare mods. So they're just, this is the only way you can get these mods. You can't get them in the dark zone. You can't get them in story missions or anything. You have to get it through this mode alone, and it has to be on 3. But the downfall is that we haven't seen a timer, but it seems to be timed. So if you go to do, let's say, 2 or 3 missions and it says, all right, you've been bumped up to, what was it, something wave 2? It says something else. But Threat level.
That's what it's threat level. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
threat level. If you go to 2 and we're like, oh, we thought we were good. So we're like, all right. And we saw something not too far from us. We did that mission. And then it said our threat level went down.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to continuously do it all in one session to 3 and then win it. And then you can get this type of gear. Because if not, it just depletes all the way down to 1. It doesn't stay. So that kind of sucks. Because then that means that's, you got to do it all in one session pretty much.
Yeah, that was bullshit. By the way, I have 5 masks because of some bullshit with the game. Although this one, I don't know if it's really much of a glitch, but basically we fought our first hunter and he killed me. So as I was respawning and traveling back to the area, these guys already killed him. They picked up their masks. When I go there, no mask at all, which is really fucking annoying, you know. But the mask stuff, that's been a lot of fun. Those guys get pretty crazy. The last one we did last night was 2 of them at the same time, 2 dudes. And they were fucking us up with this, like, was a seeker or something. Like, it was just fucking us up. That was crazy. But, yeah, that was good times there. And Chris, obviously, you know, your first division experience, I'm guessing you like it because you've been playing with us consistently. Like, you're playing Sekiro and you stop it to play more division, you know?
Yeah, actually, it's like a vacation.
Yes, that's true.
you're like, I need to calm down. I need to play this thing. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm tired of murdering guys with a sword.
Yeah, I need to tell these people the other crazy story from last night. So basically, we were looking for a convoy, right? Because we were on raise the alert level, right? So we hit a convoy. The convoy stopped right in front of a territory control point, right? So we fought like 100 motherfuckers. They just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. Because basically, if you were doing a regular convoy, you have to defeat about 4 waves of them. And if you do with territory control, it's about 3 or 4 waves. So we had to fight 8 waves of guys just nonstop. It was fucking insane, you know, and for very little reward, too, which was kind of interesting. But yeah, no, Division is the shit, man. We're World Tier 5 now. You already know your boys getting there. And right now we're focusing on our, you know, gear sets and all that shit. It's good stuff, man. I hope that, you know, the next update comes soon, man. I want to do that raid. That's going to be crazy. You know, because we can't always play with everybody that we want to play with. So it'll be good to actually have, you know, 8 motherfuckers in there, you know. And then go ahead, Adam.
Do we know if it's required that you have 8 or
that, we need to know that because we know it supports up to 8, but is it required? And, you know, the reason why I'm asking that is because we played Destiny. That was the deal with that game. It's like, if you didn't have 6 guys, you couldn't play the raid at all. So we need to find out for sure. If anybody in the chat could tell us, please do, because it would suck. It's like, we get 7 dudes and we can't do it because one guy's like, you know, walking his dog or something. You know what I'm saying? Oh man. Okay, so as for me, besides the Division, I've been playing a couple things and I could talk about it now. I played Phoenix Wright. Never played those games before. I had to review it. Very interesting game. You know, it's a visual novel. It's a visual novel / point and click adventure game, you know. Although I understand why people like the games, they're, you know, the characters are very endearing, the graphics are kind of fun and everything. Not for me, man. Like, all that fucking reading and clicking, I'm like, I'm not trying to do this shit, you know.
No, man, you play RPGs.
Yeah, but that's different. Like, there's action in there. This is just pictures. Like, there's nothing, you know. No voice acting, obviously, because this is a Game Boy game back in the day. The investigations are kind of, whatever. But at least if you investigate something, the game lets you know, hey, you don't need to check that again. You're good, you know. I understand the appeal. I'm not shitting on the game, but not for me, you know. But it's good that Capcom gave it to the people, you know. And apparently the 3 Phoenix Wright games that are in, it's called the Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright, whatever, trilogy. So it's all 3. Yet another Capcom collection, you know, which is good. But, you know, not for me.
I think it's kind of cool that they redrew all of the art, because those first few games were not on. They were on, like, you know, those were like DS or something like that.
It was Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS, yeah.
So it's like those things were not drawn for that to be blown up to that size. So
there's some instances when you see, like, the actual in-game graphics, like the character models, like, okay, yeah, I, you know, it's very simplistic or whatever. You know, I'm just gonna say that I know it's, some people may get mad at me. I'm like, if I'm gonna play a game like that, I'd rather play LA Noire, you know. Like, that's just where I'm coming at from. But I understand the appeal, at least.
Although, you were never kind of into sort of mystery sort of games.
I don't care about that.
You've never been into those sorts of games.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it is, basically. Like, you know, you get the person on the stand. And that's where the fun part is. Like, you get a person on the stand, and there's, like, the camera zips back and forth. You try to, like, you know, see where their, like, you know, their stories are inconsistent or whatever. That's fun, but, you know, after a while, I'm like, man, I'm just fucking just reading all this shit. I want to keep it going, you know? I want to kill something. You can't do that in that game, you know? So I played that. I could talk about preview shit, can I? I played it. So I went to this event last week, Modus Games, and, you know, took out a bunch of indie games. So I played, actually, I didn't play any of these games. I just saw them. But the main one for me was Trine 4. If you guys remember Trine from back in the PS3 era, it's like, it reminds me of those 2.5D Sega Saturn games I used to play, like Bug or Clockwork Knight or something, right? But just for the modern era. So they kind of fucked up, in my opinion, with the third game because it was a 3D platforming. Nothing wrong with 3D platforming. I love those myself. But what I love about Trine was the 2.5D, the crazy graphics. So Trine 4, back on that, you know, really crazy graphics. And the insane thing is, apparently the build I saw was alpha. I'm like, this is the best looking Trine game I've ever seen, and they said it's gonna look even better. It has co-op just like the previous games, and the interesting thing is, basically, if you play the game, you know, the game's puzzle based, you go through the level, there's puzzles and stuff. If you have another player in there, the puzzles change to accommodate 2 players, and they're gonna try to change the puzzles for 3 and 4 players as well, you know. But they said it's gonna be a little tricky. So that was kind of fun. I also saw this other game called Lost Words. It's a platforming game about this girl who wants to become a writer. And, like, half the game is, like, basically you see, like, a page from a diary. And she's walking around it. And you got to, like, move words around. And they're her platforms. And then the other half is, like, her fantasy world. It's very, bright and vibrant, colorful, as opposed to the white pages and stuff. That's kind of interesting. I also saw this other game called Bear With Me, which is, like, a point-and-click adventure game. I don't really care for those, so I didn't care for this game. You know, it's like point-and-click adventure games. You're just like, whatever. I don't care for that stuff.
I think it's an acquired taste. I mean, to be honest, it's like,
it's very passive. I can understand that you want to chill, relax, but I'm like, come on, man.
You know, I've always enjoyed point-and-click adventures. I play games like Willy Beamish and, you know, Rise of the Dragon and the Lost Files of Sherlock Holmes. So I like those sorts of games. You know, it's always a nice, at least a nice little change of pace from just kind of shooting and blowing up everything and jumping on everything. Or it's like, you know, you could just sit back and then just kind of, you know, listen to the soundtrack or, you know, read whatever and just not be too in there.
Yeah, and apparently this game is like the fourth installment. The three games, because it's an episodic series. They've been on Steam since 2017, but this one's gonna come out on everything. So yeah, if you like, you know, LucasArts point and click adventure games, you'll probably like that. Then this other game I saw, it's like RE and the something of the I don't know, something Seasons. Reminds me of a PS2 era 3D platforming game. The hook of this game is like basically you can like make weather patterns in a specific area. Like you shoot the slingshot. Let's say, for example, there's a frozen lake, right? You shoot your slingshot at it. Excuse me, a regular ass lake. You shoot your slingshot at it and you shoot winter at it and it becomes frozen. So you could walk on it. You could also, like, you know, if you're like in a cave, you could like throw summer above you and this water above you. You could use that to swim around. Kind of interesting. Kind of reminded me of Zelda, you know, cute little indie game. So I played that, and today I just started playing Dangerous Driving, which is available for everything right now. This is made by the same people, or some of the same people that made Burnout. I feel it's better than their last game. I'm forgetting the name of the last game, but I played it, and I felt
that
it was...
a golf game, wasn't it?
Oh, no, it wasn't a golf game.
The early race, that was pretty
good. Like, I forgot the name of it, but I played the second one of it, and the game was just Burnout. Just crash mode, like just pure crash mode. That's fun, but that game made me realize, like, yo, like I need the driving in there. So this one's driving. Basically, if you play Burnout Revenge, this is Burnout Revenge, and it's fucking good. My only kind of complaint is, and this could be a pro for some people, there is no dedicated soundtrack. Like, apart from the title song, there's no music whatsoever. But if you tie it with your Spotify account, you could listen to music, which is kind of cool. But like I was telling Adam before the show, the way they integrated it is weird. It's like you need to open up Spotify, start playing the music, then open up the game, you know, and then you can control it within the game. But I'm like, you know, it doesn't really flow right, you know. But at the same time, I kind of want to make a playlist for this game, you know, like driving music, like, you know, like, you know, songs specifically about cars, you know.
Yeah, so you could make on Spotify, make a playlist, and
yes,
that's the one that you link up, you know, when you go to play. You just select that one.
So it was kind of cool. Also, unrelated to this, I found out that Spotify gives you Hulu for free. I'm like, okay, so I have Hulu now, you know. And I also canceled Netflix. Gone. I've never used Netflix. Like aside from the Marvel shows, I give them free money. So that's
yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's if it's not working for you, then yeah,
it isn't, man. Like, you know, and the thing is, I canceled the subscription for the exact same reason. I didn't buy Netflix for years. I'm like, I don't watch that much TV. This thing's just gonna sit there. And now, obviously, I have a job. I have more money. I'm like, I'll get Netflix. It just, like, if it was a physical thing, it would just collect dust. I never watch it. I don't watch TV anymore. All I do is play video games and read. That's all I do now. I don't do anything else. You know, I'll occasionally go see a movie when a new movie comes out, but I don't watch TV. I don't really care for anything on TV right now, you know? But yeah, so those are the games. I feel like I'm missing a game, but I think I pretty much covered it. I can't say anything. Actually, it is technically April 12th, but I can't say anything. All I'm going to say is tomorrow I can say I have a upcoming game from Sony that's an exclusive. And I think you guys could guess what it is. The new Ninja Turtles. But I'll say more tomorrow, even though all I can literally tell you is I have the game and the embargo date. That's all I can tell you. So that'll be my next 2 weeks. Actually, I have a few games I have to review. This game called Weedcraft, which is literally about weed, you know, like it's kind of what I don't know if I should say that.
No, you can't talk about that.
I can't talk about that. So a certain person that we know, this game's about that sort of thing, like building up your business, you know, like a weed business or whatever, from like small time grower to like, you know, big empire. I saw a preview of it. Game was pretty interesting. Another point and click adventure game type of, you know, But I can see the appeal. It really goes into the mechanics of it and the laws and all that shit. Because let's just be real, and like in our lifetime, that shit's probably gonna be legal all across the board. You know, so this game's kind of setting you up for that.
Especially if the local government's gonna collect taxes off that shit. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah, and that's one of the things of the game that, you know, the characters realize, like, yo, yeah, we've been outlawing this, but we could make more money if we make it legal. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of cool that the game is, like, even though it's stylized and stuff, based in reality, you know? So that's kind of cool. I'm also going to have, I have a bunch of shit coming for you guys, so just stay tuned for all that. I have so many fucking games I got to review now. That's the one thing that's kind of cool and kind of shitty about being a game reviewer. It's like, you got to play all these games. You know, I'm not playing these for fun. I'm playing these just purely for the mechanics, and I move the fuck on to the next game. That's what I did with Phoenix Wright, you know? I think Division's the only game.
You kind of played a little bit through every single one of them.
Yeah, here's a little bit of a trade secret for you guys. And I've learned this even back when we were writing our blog, man. You, for most games, not all games, obviously, but for most games, 5 hours is all you need, and you get the gist of it, you know? The rest of it is just reiterating the same shit you've been doing, you know?
So but wasn't that the point that they made about Resident Evil?
What do you mean?
Well, Resident Evil 2, when that guy did the review.
Well, that's why he said the most same games. That's why I said most games.
See, well, that's Resident what I'm saying. Evil, that some people put that in that category.
But... with a game like Resident Evil, that's a narrative game. You need to finish those. Like, if it's a mechanic game, you don't really need to finish those. But a game like, for example, Dragon Age 2, right? If I were to view that game based off the first 5 hours, I would have given it like a 2 out of 10. But I'd love the fucking ending, so it kind of bumps it up a little bit. On the reverse, if I would have played just the first part of Dante's Inferno, I would have given it a rave review. But I played the rest of the game, like, oh, this game's actually trash. You know,
or with Mass Effect, if you talked about the first part and then not the ending.
Yeah, exactly. So with those games, you need to. But if it's something like Tetris, you don't need to finish Tetris. You know what's up. You play an hour of Tetris, you're good. Puyo Puyo. And some of these games. Hold on a second. I'll tell you guys what I have here. Dangerous Driving, Weedcraft. By the way, Tony's playing a lot of point and click adventure games, but, you know, I gotta make that cash. I'm just being real. We the Revolution. I saw a preview of that. Very interesting. This is what I call adult Phoenix Wright. You know, you're a lawyer and stuff. You know, actually, no, you're not a lawyer. You're the judge. You know, you get this shit presented to you, and you need to judge wisely. And it takes place during the French Revolution, so there's a lot of political shit in there. Really cool game. You know, not up my alley, but you know me, Manny. I do that shit fairly. You know what I'm saying? Unlike some of these other reviewers.
Just look at it for the things that are presented and the parts of aesthetics that you can get. But obviously, you got to try to give everything a bit of a fair shake, especially if you're not you're not a reviewer that's only down to review specific things.
Nah, like, man, you put a game in my face, I'll review it. Here's the thing about game reviews. And this is why I say, okay, remember that fucking asshole Philip Moosen or whatever, where he plagiarized a review? I'm like, bro, a review is the easiest fucking thing in the world, and I'll tell you why. Okay, basically, you have to ask yourself one question. Two questions, actually. Does this game, you know, fulfill its promises? Does it do what it sets out to do? Yes or no? Simple as that. You know, like Phoenix Wright, hey, does it make you feel like a lawyer? Yes, it does. So it succeeds in that end, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's pretty simple. So, yeah, I got a lot of stuff coming for you guys, and then obviously, you know, I'll tell you guys some more about the big game I'm about to review. And as usual, I get these big games when there's a bunch of shit I need to. I probably won't even get to play it until Sunday, you know, because tomorrow me and Manny are going to go see Dream Theater. You know,
gonna
so
be in the city.
Going to be in the city Saturday. I think my sister's coming over and all this other stuff. But, you know, I'll keep myself busy, and that's good. I think that's going to be that. Anything, any last things you guys want to say?
We're going to be doing a WrestleCast tomorrow, and it's to cover all the crazy news and the fallouts from WrestleMania, TakeOver, the other indie shows. Ring of Honor had some craziness happen with Enzo and Big Cass showing up. So we're just going to break down a lot of stuff going on because a lot of things are changing, other promotions coming back to TV. And so,
yo, man, the biggest one, man, fucking Undertaker.
What about him?
Well, he just showed up.
Yeah, they'll talk about that on WrestleCast.
Well, yeah, no, well, that's not. Yeah, that's we knew. But it'll be bigger.
Twitter account.
Well, I mean, the bigger news is that the reason why he's coming back and who he's going to face, which is going to be in Saudi Arabia. That's the big news. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Nice, nice. WrestleCast is back, baby.
Yep, Fridays.
By the way, speaking about people that are back, Riku-san is back. We're not going to disclose why, but he's back in the game, so we'll try to get him on Throwdown soon.
Have him back and talk about some shit.
Yeah, right now he just sent me and Torrent specifically a clip from JoJo to explain it. I don't watch JoJo, so I can't explain it, you know? So we'll see about that. I think that's going to do it for us, man. So, again, watch the Star Wars thing this weekend and come back with us with some questions about the game. Star Wars Jedi something. Jedi Fallen Order. There you go. It's literally in front of me. You know? All right. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Tonight is joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Adam Vale.
Have a good weekend, people.
And Brian Monjoma.
Oh, they did Julian wrong. They did Julian so wrong.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
All right, guys. We'll see you on the flip side later.
Later, guys.